us in 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings 23. I'm going to read the first 27 verses as I reasonably expect that's all I have hope to get through tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for good King Josiah and how we see how one godly man at the head of a nation can make a wonderful difference in the life of a nation. And so we pray, Lord God, that we would be prayer warriors, that you would raise up godly men and women to rule in this land. And Lord, that we would seek your favor, as that is the only way, Lord, to turn this nation towards you. In Jesus' name, amen. Then the king sent, and all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him, and the king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the prophets, and the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes, with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the threshold to bring out the temple of the Lord, all the vessels made for Baal and Asherah, and for all the hosts of heaven. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron, and carried their ashes to Bethel. And he deposed the priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to make offerings in the high places at the cities of Judah and around Jerusalem. Those also who burned incense to Baal and to the sun and moon and constellations and all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out Asherah from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem to the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and beat it to dust and cast the dust of it on the graves of the common people. And he broke down the house of the male cult prostitutes who were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the Asherah. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had made offerings from Geba to Beersheba. And he broke down the high places and the gates that were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on one's left at the gate of the city. However, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brothers. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no one might burn his son or his daughter as an offering to Molech. And he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the precincts. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire, and the altars on the roof of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars that Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He pulled down and broke in pieces and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the king defiled the high places and were east of Jerusalem to the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And he broke in pieces the pillars, and cut down Asherim, and filled their places with bones of men. Moreover, the altar at Bethel, the high place erected by Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel the sin, the altar which the high place he pulled down and burned, reducing it to dust, he also burned the Asherah. And as Josiah turned, he saw the tombs there on the mount. And he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it, according to the word of the Lord, the man of God proclaimed, who had predicted these things. Then he said, "What is this monument that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and predicted these things that you have done against the altar at Bethel." And he said, "Let him be, let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone, with the bones of the prophets who came out of Samaria. And Josiah removed all the shrines also in the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made, provoking the Lord to anger. He did to them according to all that he had done at Bethel, and he sacrificed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned human bones on them. Then he returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. For no such Passover had been kept since the days of the judges who judged Israel, or during the days of the kings of Israel, or of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was kept to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah put away the mediums, and the necromancers, and the household gods, and the idols, and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might establish the words of the law that were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Before him, there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might. According to all the law of Moses, did any like him rise after him? Still, the Lord did not turn from the burning of his great wrath, by which his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations which Manasseh had provoked him. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and I will cast off this city that I have chosen, Jerusalem, and the house by which I said, my name shall be there. Well, you may remember last week, Josiah is the king. He starts being king at the ripe old age of 8. And he begins to clean house. He is throwing off the Assyrian yoke that is asserting foreign dominance in the land. And lo and behold, as they're cleaning out the temple, guess what they find? The law, probably the book of Deuteronomy. You remember last week, the book of Deuteronomy is brought in and read to Josiah. And he tears his clothes, he mourns before the Lord, because he recognizes, now I know why my nation's under judgment. My nation's under judgment because we have forsaken his ways and followed after foreign gods. And we also hear the line from the prophet saying, because you have wept, because you've rent your clothes, these things won't happen in your day. But Josiah is not content with simply saying, peace in my time. Josiah wants to bring about conversion of his nation, and is going to do everything in his power in order to do this. And the thing I liken it unto is spring cleaning. I'm not talking about when you decide I'll finally dust my house. I'm talking about old spring cleaning where you literally take every piece of furniture outside the house and you clean it outside the house and you clean from top to bottom every nook and cranny of your house. That's what Josiah is going to do in the nation. He's going to gather the priests and the prophets and the elders and all the people and say, we're going to the temple. And I'm going to have to you read the book of the law that was read to me. Now, we read that last week in the responsive reading, you may recall from Deuteronomy, Palestinian covenant, in which the curses of the law were read. And Josiah has this wonderful aha moment. He realizes, I know why we're under judgment, because we've disobeyed the Lord. Now he has it read to the people. And he is going to eradicate idolatry. What's funny to me is, he's not only going to eradicate the idolatry in Judah. Remember, Judah has two tribes, really three, but it's always called two. Judah, Benjamin, and Simeon. Simeon is kind of swallowed up inside the confines of Judah and rarely gets mentioned. But he is also going to seek to eradicate the remaining idolatry out of northern Israel. Now, you may remember, as we read in the responsive reading, how God compares southern Judah as the younger sister. Northern Israel is the older sister. She played the harlot. She flirted with foreign gods. She got deported. No surprise, southern Judah does the same thing, is going to have the same results. Who was there that day? Perhaps Jeremiah was there that day in the temple, hearing the curses of the law read. Perhaps Zedekiah was there. They would have been concurrent. I'm going to read a section from Jeremiah 11, which speaks to this. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Hear ye the words of the covenant, and speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say you to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all that which I commanded you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn to your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is to this day. Then I answered and said, so be it, O Lord. Then the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protested to your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even to this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one after the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring on them all the words of this covenant which I commanded to do to them, but they did not obey. So God has told them in the law and in the living prophet, if you walk according to my law, I'm going to bless your nation. I'm going to give you good things. Now, if I were to ask you, which one of you wants your nation to be blessed? We'd all say, that's me. I want the nation to be blessed. And yet, God says, if you don't turn back to me with full purpose of heart, you're not going to have that blessing. And so he begins to really eradicate all the graven images, the Baal and the Asherah. Remember, Manasseh had been the king prior. He had introduced not only Baalism into southern Judah, but also Moloch. Moloch is the heathen god to whom child sacrifice was given. So they are literally sacrificing infants to Moloch at Ben Hinnom, the Valley of Hinnom. We're going to see that in a minute. And he's going to take these idols. He's going to grind them to powder. He's going to burn them. I want to show you where he gets this from Deuteronomy 7. This is before they come into the promised land, before the transfer of power from Moses to Joshua. Deuteronomy 7 says, the graven images of the gods you will burn with fire. You will not desire the silver or the gold that is in them, nor take it unto you, lest it be a snare to you, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. So, did you notice also that after he burns the idols, where does he take their ashes? To Bethel. Now, you may remember Bethel because that was the place that Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the first king of northern Israel, had set up the calves. Remember, there's one in southern Bethel and one in northern Dan. He does this because he does not want the revenue and the heart of northern Israel to go back to southern Judah. So he sets up calf worship in northern Israel. Well, in Josiah's mind, Bethel is already polluted, so he's going to go and pollute it yet the more with the ashes of these idols that he has gotten rid of. He gets rid of the priests that are helping in this worship. He gets rid of the Asherah. You may remember when Manasseh was taken captive, is later released, he has a momentary moment of repentance. And I talked to you about that pseudepigraphal book of Manasseh in which the prayer of Manasseh is recorded, though the sentiment is right, the authorship is suspect. He does have a change of heart. And he eradicates the idolatry that he himself had brought in. However, his son Ammon restores all the idols right back into the temple of God. But when Josiah becomes king, he gets rid of it. Let's look at our first slide tonight. Here we're going to have the Valley of Ben-Hinnom. This is the place where they would have sacrificed children to Moloch. And it was filled with blood. And remember, we've seen it with in Naboth's vineyard, the Jezreelite, how that wicked king Ahaz, had killed him for his vineyard. And His son is going to wind up dying in the very field in which he had killed Naboth. Well, something similar is going to happen here. When the Babylonians come in and are going to take Jerusalem, this is going to be filled with the blood of the people of Jerusalem, because this is where they had shed the blood of innocents, and God is linking the crime with the punishment. Josiah, he clears away the horses that had been dedicated to the sun. He burns the chariots that had been dedicated to the sun. He clears out the high places that Solomon had built on the Mount of Olives. If you ever see in Israel, coming out of the Temple Mount, there's this the valley, and then you have the Mount of Olives, and on top is a church called the Church of the Ascension. And you'll see a mural painting of the Lord Jesus going back up into heaven on the Church of Ascension. Well, up there, Solomon had built altars to the foreign gods of his foreign wives. Josiah is going to get rid of those as well. Josiah had taxes collected from the foreign people of northern Israel. We read in 2 Chronicles, and when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites kept the doors, had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim and all the remnant of Israel and all of Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. That's one of those verses that if you're not a careful reader and if you're not a student of history, you'd simply read over it. You'd simply read over it and you'd miss the significance of this point. Josiah is clearly asserting his authority not only of southern Judah, of which he is king, but also of the largely vacated territory of northern Israel as well. He is taxing its citizens in order to provide revenue to the temple of God in the south. Thus we see he is reunifying the nation, though again most of the population of northern Israel had been taken away. All the houses of the high places were in the other cities of Samaria. Josiah also destroyed. He kills off the priests. He burns the priests' bones on the altars in northern Israel. And he does not even allow for the dead bones of the false prophets and priests to lie in a state. But he pulls them out and burns them as well. He gets to the one man who had prophesied all these things. He's told, this is the man, this is the prophet of God, who had said all these things would come to pass, and Josiah allows his bones to be remain. Now, I ask you this question. Does this seem like the kind of leader we want? Someone who has a forceful reform? I answer, I guess, my own question with a question. If it is the responsibility of the magistrate to protect its citizens, who more ought they protect us from than a God who can send disease and bugs and drought and famine and war and economic disaster? If you anger that God, it does not matter what the foreign policy of the administration may be. It does not matter what economic process they may engage in. If you anger this God, nothing is going to go right for your nation. And as we wring our hands about what to do with the fiscal situation and the gas prices and all the things that we concern ourselves with, I tell you this, the thing that will bless any nation, is to turn back to God with the level of purpose that Josiah brings. One of the ways in which he seeks to bring the nation back is instituting the Passover. Now, this is mentioned in our Kings book, but really detailed in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to read to us a section from 2 Chronicles 35, and notice what Josiah does. Josiah in 2 Chronicles 35. Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the month. He appointed the priests to their offices and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. And he said to the Levites who taught all Israel and who were the holy to the Lord, put the holy ark in the house of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, built. You need not carry it on your shoulders. Now serve the Lord your God and his people. Prepare yourselves according to your fathers' houses by your divisions, as prescribed in the writing of David, king of Israel, and the document of Solomon, his son. And stand in the holy place according to the groupings of the fathers' houses of your brothers, and lay people according to the divisions of the Levites by fathers' household, and slaughter the Passover lamb, and consecrate yourselves, and prepare for your brothers to do according to the word of the Lord by Moses. It goes on to tell of the numbers, the huge numbers of animals that were sacrificed. They said they'd never seen anything like it since the days of the judges. They had not seen anything like it in the days of the monarchy, even at the heights where David and Solomon were kings. And so the Passover was kept by the precepts of God. And yet we're told this: God is not going to turn away his anger from Judah because of the sins of Manasseh. This is a strange line and a strange point. But remember, oftentimes we will see that for the rightness of King David, God was going to bless future kings. The rightness of you outlives you in the persons of your children. But also the wickedness of the forefathers outlives us in the personages of our children, such that we see the sin of Manasseh in filling the Kidron Valley with blood of little children. God said, I am not going to relent. I am going to give disaster on these people. So, if you're reading the book of Jeremiah, think of this. The first 10 chapters are going to overlap the reign of Josiah. And he's going to try to teach them that reform is got to be in the heart. Now, I'm going to wrap it up with this, and I'm going to relate it to this morning's sermon. In this morning's sermon, we saw how they were chiding Jesus and the disciples because they did not operate with washed hands. They did not keep all the ceremony. And Jesus' challenge back to them is, the ceremony does not make the heart clean. It's a clean heart before God that makes one right before God. Jeremiah is going to have a very similar language to the people. Jeremiah 7 says, trust you not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Now remember, Josiah is renovating the temple. That's why they found the book of the law in the temple to begin with. And yet, they had trusted wrongly in the building. And there's good precedent for that, because it wasn't that long ago in Hezekiah's day where it looked like they were surely going to be overrun by the Assyrians, and God had prayer through Hezekiah. The angel of the Lord went out and killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. You would think Jerusalem is inviolable. We cannot be defeated. Why? Because we have the temple of the Lord. And Jeremiah says, be careful. You think that you can't be defeated because you have that building. But God does not have your heart. And if God does not have your heart, no matter how outwardly religious you may appear to be, if God does not have your heart, you are not safe. Now, how does God get our heart? By giving it to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your grace. Come now and do for me what I cannot do for myself. That's the good word of the Lord for us tonight. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you love us and that you gave us Jesus as your only Son to rescue us, Lord, from our own sin and waywardness. Come now and bless these, your people, as we consider the words of 2 Kings and the life and the ministry of Jeremiah. We pray in the high name of Christ our King. Amen.